State officials have a plan to make Brightline trains safer. A new report finds they have the highest number of rail deaths per square mile in the country. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. A new Associated Press report shows that since January of 2018, there have been 41 deaths on Brightline tracks. The governor has called for action. Now, state officials are launching a series of safety and education programs to try and curb those numbers. Also,
it's a survival skill. It's really like telling a wildebeest in the savannah, oh, don't judge that lion until he's got you by the throat.
Carl Hyacin is one of the most influential writers and newsmen of South Florida over the decades. We spoke with him about his new book, Assume the Worst. It's Hyacin's take on graduation speeches that he believes students should hear. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. The Associated Press recently released a report that found Brightline, soon to become Virgin Trains USA, has the most deaths per mile in the country. Shortly after, Florida's Department of Transportation announced a new safety education initiative on railroad crossings. We spoke with WLRN Broward County reporter Katie Switalski to look into the latest report and how state officials are responding. Katie, what were the key findings from the Associated Press report?
So the Associated Press looked at a lot of federal data, and a lot of it's available online for anyone to look up, but some of it you do request through public records requests. And what the AP found when they looked at Federal Railroad Administration data was that Brightline has the worst per mile death rate of the nation's 821 railroads.
How many people have been killed by Brightline trains?
41, according to this new report. Now, Federal Railroad Administration data lags a little bit. So I knew of, at the end of November, I knew of about 28, but we knew there'd been more this fall. And so the AP kind of took that and analyzed it and figured 41 since the train started test running.
And what did they list as the reasons? Are these mostly accidents?
Well, they're not due to staff error on the trains or any faulty equipment. So the report finds that most of the deaths have been suicides, actually. And then, you know, a smaller portion have been pedestrians or bicyclists or drivers that have ignored or missed warning signs and tried to beat the train. I think a lot of us have seen those videos on social media that have kind of gone locally viral of cars trying to beat the Brightline train.
So it wasn't that long after the report was released that the Florida Department of Transportation announced new safety measures. But I mean, weren't there safety measures already in place before this?
There are. There are a set of standard, if you can call it that, railroad safety measures. So Brightline had the gates with the arms that come down that drivers see. They had, you know, the sounds, the horns, the lights. And so the new safety measures were kind of brought on at the end of last month. Governor Ron DeSantis called the deaths deeply troubling. There were at least one or two more at that time. And he ordered the Secretary of Transportation, Kevin Tebow, and the Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT, he ordered them to look into this and, hey, what else can you be doing about this? And so a couple weeks later, this is FDOT coming back to the table and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do now. And the safety measure that came out on Thursday, that's like a brand new immediate order, they're called dynamic envelopes. And I had to ask FDOT a lot about this because at first I was like, what is that? That sounds really confusing to talk about to the average driver. But they're white markings that are going to go on either side of the train tracks. They're like two big fat white lines on one side, and they're full of a bunch of zigzags. And then the same thing on the other side where there's an intersection. And the idea is that drivers, instead of stopping closer to the train tracks, will stop before they see the white markings on the road.
And, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, this is part of this new initiative. It's this new education initiative that FDOT has, and they're calling it Operation Stride. Okay, so how is this rolling out? How is this supposed to work?
So Operation Stride is just a fancy name, I think, for how they're going to educate drivers about what these dynamic envelopes are. And really, dynamic envelope is a fancy name for the white markings and zigzags on the road that drivers are going to see. So Operation Stride, the acronym, stands for Statewide Traffic and Railroad Initiative Using Dynamic Envelopes. So they had to make an acronym. It's really just going to be a social media campaign across digital platforms. It's how they're going to try to reach out to drivers and say, hey, this is what these markings mean. Don't cross them or you're in a danger zone.
So FDOT Secretary Kevin Tebow spoke to a crowd at a summit in Hollywood last week. Give me a little bit of rundown of what he was talking about and you know, what he said we should be expecting.
Well, what was really interesting, it was an industry summit. So you had industry leaders in infrastructure and transportation. It's put on by the Florida Chamber of Commerce's foundation every year. And so this was a pretty standard talk for him, but he gave this talk a couple of hours before he went to announce the new safety initiative. So he really didn't give a lot away at this talk. He was just talking about in general safety on the road and what Florida as a state entity is doing to try to make transportation safer. And what's really interesting is I caught him in the hallway and he was really adamant that it's really not just rail safety he's worried about. And he really wouldn't get specific with me on rail safety before announcing the initiative. He was concerned about safety on all modes of transportation. So he was talking to me a lot about safety on I-95 and how, if we think about it, the most dangerous thing that a lot of people do every day is drive to work. So I think he's trying to not hone in on rail safety. He's trying to look at the bigger picture. But that was just before shortly he announced the Rail Safety Initiative.
But what does he say about all these train deaths and the fact that Brightline has the most?
He's really stayed very tight-lipped. He wouldn't answer too many of my questions on Thursday when I caught him after the summit. He keeps going back to, you know, one death is one too many, and what can we do across all of our modes of transportation to stay safer? So he's really not answering specifically to that.
I'm talking with WLRN's Broward County reporter Katie Switalski. FDOT recently announced new safety measures on railroad crossings. This comes after a recent AP report stating that Brightline trains have the most deaths per square mile. According to federal data, most of the deaths have been suicides. What have we heard from Brightline about the deaths?
There's a couple things. They're troubled. I think as a company, they are really trying to get rid of this image and keep this from happening. They acknowledge that the same thing that the AP report does, that most of these deaths are suicides. So they have a couple of things going. They have trauma counseling for their engineers. They are really working on trying to get out mental health education campaigns. And they announced support for a bill that was filed for the upcoming legislative session that would fund suicide prevention outreach efforts. So they're publicly really looking for ways to stop people from crossing those barriers. I got to talk with their senior vice president of corporate affairs, Ben Porritt, earlier this fall, specifically about safety. And he was telling me a lot about how, look, the company can put up gates, they can put up flashing lights, they can put up sounds. But if a driver or a person decides to ignore those, that's really hard for the company to combat because all the measures that are designed to keep that person or car safe are no longer going to keep them safe when that threshold is crossed. So I think he admitted that's the company's biggest challenge right now is moving forward with that. But at the same time, they have huge expansion plans. They are trying to support mental health education and suicide prevention efforts.
So, Katie, you mentioned the bill that's coming up in this legislative session that starts in January. It's going to help fund South Florida suicide prevention and outreach programs. Specifically, what is it? What's in this bill?
So it was filed by Mike Caruso from Delray Beach in the House of Representatives. And it's looking at getting more funding for a Treasure Coast, Palm Beach, South Florida suicide prevention and crisis intervention outreach project. Those are a lot of buzzwords, but really looking at ways to fund different entities like 2-on-1 and looking at how to prevent suicides.
Katie, going back to the AP report, I mean, it seems like we have a clear reason why Brightline is having this issue, why we're having so many deaths.
Why they have so many deaths is really unclear. Other railroads, and specifically other railroads in the South Florida area, have not had nearly as many. I mean, Tri-Rail has not had this problem. Freight lines have not had this problem. But a couple of psychologists theorized for the AP, looking at the AP report, that it could possibly be the speed, they advertised how fast bright lines go, the bright color, the newness, or the idea, that just drivers want to save a few seconds, or people are impatient. And so one of the things I definitely want to end on, if you or someone you know is having problems, considering hurting themselves or suicide, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Or you can call 211 from anywhere in South Florida to talk.
And that was WLRN Broward County reporter Katie Switalski. You can find all of her reporting on Brightline at WLRN.org. And stories like that are made possible because of supporters like you. That's important reporting right there to understand something that is so important to life here in South Florida and an issue that we need to resolve. And again, your support helps make that happen. And so we're going to take a moment here just to stop, and we're going to ask you for your support for public radio. This is our winter drive, and I'm joined in studio by Mia Lorenzo and Suzanne Halterman.
Well, thank you, Lewis, and to you sundialers out there. An apple a day keeps alternative facts out of your way. It's WLRN's winter member campaign, and you have the chance to win an iPhone 11 Pro. It's simple. We're giving one away each day through Friday. And when you help us end our membership campaign, say you do that today, you'll be entered into all of those drawings. So the earlier you contribute, the more chances you'll have to win the hottest, latest Apple iPhone. So don't wait. Donate right now at WLRN.org or give us a call. That number is 866-247-9576.
It appears I have the wrong apple. I have the apple in my lunchbox. But I would love an Apple iPhone 11. That would be awesome. And you can get that just by giving us a call. You know, if you're still not 100% sure of what being a WLRN sustainer is all about, think of it this way. It's like cruise control for your WLRN membership. Once you set it, maybe $10, $15, or $20 a month, for instance, the rest of the work is done for you. The only effort involves you deciding the amount you'd like to give and taking just 3 minutes to set up your sustaining membership on the phone or online. How do you do that? You just give us a call. We got wonderful people on the other end of the phone that can walk you through it. That number is 866-247-9576, or you can always give safely and securely online at WLRN.org.
Again, that number is 866-247-WLRN, 866-247-9576. Also want to mention here, we're going to come back to Sundial in just a moment, and we're going to hear a really fascinating conversation, fun conversation that I had during the book fair with author Carl Hyacin. And he's going to talk about, he's got a couple of books that he's had out in the last year, also about his relationship with Dave Barry. And all I'm going to say is this, get ready to laugh. He is so, so funny and very witty. Again, 866-247-9576. You know what? One of the other things, too, just as a reminder, because we're talking about sustaining membership, is the fact that this is our end of year drive, our winter drive. And a lot of folks like to make their pledge and, one big pledge at one time, because you know what? You can write this off. This is your end of year. Write it off for your taxes thing. So 866-247-9576. And by the way, when you do, how about a New York Times subscription? You know what? You get the opinion blogs, the reviews, the breaking news, the videos. You can access it on your smartphone. I do it that way. I also do it on my tablet just for the $15 a month. How about that? Go ahead and do it now and get that as a gift. Get it for yourself. 866-247-9576.
Well, have you been a member of WLRN for a while? Consider signing up as a monthly sustainer with a $20 a month debit from your bank account. It helps pay for NPR News, the BBC World Service, 7 days a week, local coverage, just like Sundial from the newsroom here at WLRN. It also covers, you know, those programs you love and laugh to, This American Life, what about Radio Lab, and all the other great programs that make you think deeply about the world from which you come. Your $20 a month helps pay for everything you get out of WLRN every single day. And your gift means a lot, especially since our members provide the most significant share of the money that pays for everything you hear on WLRN. Now listen, it just takes a couple of minutes and a credit card or a debit from your checking account information to sign up. The number to call, operators are standing by, 866-247-9576. And as we have tested this here in the studio with Luis Hernandez himself, it just takes about 2 minutes when you go to WLRN.org to become a sustaining member of WLRN.
But wait, that's not all. When you help us out with this end of year contribution, WLRN will have the resources to bring you all the news you'll need for the next 12 months to stay informed. But you're also automatically entered into our grand prize drawing for a 7-day best of city tour of London, Paris, or Rome. So you'll choose your destination. Now, the tour includes small friendly groups of like 24 to 28 people, full-time services of a professional Rick Steves guide, all tours and admissions covering more than a dozen group sightseeing events, 6 nights accommodation, all breakfast, half your dinners, all group transportation, all tips, Rick Steves guidebooks. You're just missing Rick Steves, basically. But no, this would be a trip of a lifetime. I've met Rick Steves. He's a really cool guy. He's always jet setting somewhere. But this could be yours. If you contribute right now, you're automatically entered into this wonderful grand prize drawing. So give us a call, 866-247-9576, or you can go online and check out the details at WLRN.org.
And the other thing, too, by the way, is this. You just think about all the great programming that you're getting with WLRN. You know what? You have the special hearings right now, the impeachment hearings, and that have been going on. And you know what? That's a public service. You're not going to cable television to get commentary on what happened. You get to watch it as it happens. And then you get the special programming afterwards to help you understand what happened. That's brought to you by you, the supporter of public radio. So please support public radio now, 866-247-9576.
So don't forget about those iPhone 11 Pros that are on the table for you. Several chances to win with your donation right now. Don't miss out. The more you, the earlier you make that donation, the more chances you have to win. 866-247-9576 is that phone number. And you can make that donation online. Check out all of our thank you gifts at WLRN.org. And thank you.
Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, scores of winter graduates from colleges and universities across South Florida will be receiving their diplomas here in the coming weeks and starting the next chapter of their lives. Miami Herald columnist and author Carl Hyacin has some advice for them and their parents.
You need to hear that. Yeah, you may think you're a great musician, you grow up to be the next Bruce Springsteen, but you're not. The odds, you have a better chance of really getting hit by lightning.
The advice comes from his book, Assume the Worst, the graduation speech you'll never hear. We spoke with Hyacin at the Miami Book Fair a couple weeks ago before his chat with fellow Herald columnist and longtime friend Dave Barry. And we discussed his graduation advice, his relationship with Dave, and his new children's book, Squirm.
Do you remember your graduation commencement speech?
I don't remember. I went to the high school graduation speech. I did not go to the college. I already had a job, so I left Gainesville as quickly as I could to get a paycheck. I remember getting my diploma. It was rolled up in a piece of cardboard, and they sent it to me, and it stayed that way for a long time. But the high school graduate, I'm sure whoever gave it is highly successful, but I have no recollection of valedictorian, salutatorian, anything like that. I mean, I'm sure it was a high point for them. But we had about 900 kids in the graduating class. None of them could wait to get, we were all eager to get out. So, no, you don't remember it, but now it's become, because of the internet, graduation speeches get posted, and they become, you know, some of them become iconic, some of them become go viral for other reasons. And, you know, when I graduated, nobody gave a rat's ass. You were gone. That was it. Let me out.
All right. I was imagining, but I wondered, you know, when you were writing this book, if you weren't sitting in front of a mirror practicing and saying, this is what a speech should be, that you wanted to do it. But what inspired this one?
First of all, I get a little tired of all the upbeat graduation speeches because I don't think you're sufficiently preparing graduates for what the real world is like. And the real world is tough, and it's great to be optimistic, but you have to be ready, you know, get stabbed in the back and tripped and fleeced, and you got to be on alert. And I didn't think they were sufficiently. So I wrote Assume the Worst, having my own youngest son in mind who was graduating from high school, but also, you know, relatives who had graduated, just thinking, look, if somebody needs to, and I wanted it to be, and that's the subtitle, this graduation speech you'll never hear, because no one would ever ask me to go give this, or anyone give this speech to a bunch of young, you know, hopeful, bright kids, but that's what they need to hear, is that it's a tough place. And, you know, you need to hear that, yeah, you may think you're a great musician, you grow up to be the next Bruce Springsteen, but you're not. You have a better chance of really getting hit by lightning than ever playing in the E Street Band. It ain't happening for you, kids. Somebody's got to shake them and say, hey, get realistic, you know, manage your expectations, know your limitations. And no one wants to hear that, but that's what the real world is. So I just thought I would throw a damper on the whole graduation season if I could. That was my main mission.
And I loved it. One of the points you made that I thought was really interesting is you had said, people always tell you don't jump to judgment. And you're like, no, you should be judging everything and everybody all the time.
It's a survival skill. It's really like telling a wildebeest in the savannah, oh, don't judge that lion until he's got you by the throat. And then, oops, maybe I should have made a judgment about the lion. It's great, open-hearted and sing kumbaya and all that. No, that's not the real world. That you have to judge. Every great decision you make and every move in your life is going to be based on judgments you're making about, are these the right people to work with? Is this the right company? Is this the right path for me? And it takes one great professor to turn you around all of a sudden. No, I don't want to be this major. I'm switching this. You know, that's how it works. You have these great moments, and then the bad moments are just as important. You get the really depressing, you know, half-witted, morose professor, and you say, you know what, I'm not majoring in art history anymore. This was a bad idea. There's no jobs out there for me, and look where I'm going to end up. I'm going to end up like this schmuck. No, you got to make these calls.
One of the things I wanted to point out, too, that's really interesting is when you graduated in the mid-70s.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, think about what was going on and then what's going on today. I mean, is it better or worse for graduates? When you think about what's happening historically, it seems like we're just repeating ourselves.
Well, the graduates today do not remember Vietnam, Watergate, the civil rights challenges that were in our era. So it's hard to relate to that for someone our age. You look back, you know, a graduate today might say, how are we ever going to climb out of this as a country so divided and so, but if you've been through it once, which everyone in my generation more than once, you can still be angry and worried, but you're not panic stricken because we came through all that. We came through a major constitutional crisis in 1974. We can do that again, but it's hard for someone who's young because, and that the way they get their information is totally different. There's not just three TV networks, and they're not watching Walter Cronkite every night like the rest of the world was back then, or when they put somebody on the moon. You know, I mean, you're getting it from so many different sources, and I think it deadens the impact of how important some of it is, and that's what I worry about. They don't get how important this is. A lot of young people don't. They don't dig that this is some serious stuff, and it's going to affect them and their children and their grandchildren if they don't read a little more than a one-line news feed about it, because it is. It's serious. It's heavy.
Let's switch over. You presented with Dave Barry at the book fair. Mm. The two of you, I mean, you've had this opportunity to work in this unique market. Tell me a little bit about that working relationship, the friendship, how you guys, you know, have come up together and how maybe even influenced each other.
Well, I've known Dave, I don't know, it's been 30 plus years whenever he came to Florida, and he started working at the Herald, and he and I were on the staff of Tropic, the Sunday magazine, at the same time. I mean, we've just been friends that long, and he's, it's sad now because he was so much funnier then. It's sad to watch him fade like this, but if I could just tell people, he's really was sharp back in those days. just kidding, Dave. Anyway, keep in mind, in those days, in the 80s and 90s and in late 70s, Miami was on fire as a news town. It was really the most, in the best and the worst ways, it was violent. It was corrupt. But everything was happening. And this great collision of cultures was coming because you had people moving here from everywhere. So it was a very exciting time to be working at that newspaper. And the humor that you had to draw from some of the absurd situations, the only way to get through it was to laugh. Some of it was heavy stuff. So, you know, Dave made everybody laugh every Sunday. And there were, the one thing that even before I started writing my own column, but the one thing that I appreciated, I knew how hard it was to write humor, and I knew how hard it was to be funny when your own little world might not be funny at the time. You know, you're going through stuff in your own life, but if you're Dave Barry, you can't go to Publix without someone stopping you and wanting to hear a joke, and that's a horrible burden. I mean, people stay the hell away from me if they see me, but Dave, he's so nice and personable, it's really come back to haunt him at this stage of his life, I think.
I wonder, too, because something interesting is that the two of you and there are others who, you're part of this interesting, like, fraternity, sorority of newspaper writers who become novelists. And what's that like? I mean, is it something that, you know, did you decide one day, did you ever think one day this is what your life would be? Or, you know, did it just something that just happened? You're like, this is a better route.
No, I mean, I'd always wanted to write novels. And I was in college, towards the end of college, I had worked sort of as a ghostwriter on a couple of novels that actually got published. So I had a little bit of confidence going in. And then once I got to Miami and the material here was so great. And so I had an editor, Bill Montalbano, who was a brilliant journalist and a great writer. And he decided, right in the middle, when the cocaine war started happening in the late 70s, he said, and I was writing about some of the bad guys who you couldn't, they were way before Sonny Crockett's era, but these were real bad guys. And he said, we should write a book about this. So we ended up doing three sort of traditional thrillers together. And they were all published and they all got pretty good reviews. So it gave me a great deal of confidence sort of going solo and writing my own kind of, as warped and disturbing as they are to many people, but they're, my own take on things. Part of it is survival. Sometimes laughing is the only way you get through some of this stuff. And people seem to enjoy a satirical sort of sharp-edged approach, just as they do in newspapers, actually. So I didn't envision the dual careers. I got lucky, and I've worked with some brilliant people, and I've had terrific editors and a terrific agent. And I mean, a lot of things went right, but at the end of the day, you still have to go, or at the beginning of the day, you still have to go into a room and when you're writing fiction and make, everything's got to come out of your own head. And when I was a reporter and even now doing the column, you got a notebook. I mean, you have the luxury of facts and a story that you're relating, not a story you're making up. And so it's a different muscle that you're exercising.
You're listening to a conversation that we had recently with Miami Herald columnist and author Carl Hiaasen. His new book is called Assume the Worst, The Graduation Speech You'll Never Hear. We're going to get back to more of Carl Hiaasen in a little bit, but I just want to stop and remind you this is our winter drive, our end of year drive, and we're just going to take a moment here to say thank you for your pledge of support. But if you haven't made that call, please do, because public radio depends on you. All of these programs, all of this reporting and interviews like this are really dependent on you. You make it happen. And so we thank you for that, but we need you to help us get through the end of 2019 and let us get started for a great 2020. 866-247-9576. Joined in studio by Mia Lorenzo and Suzanne Halterman.
So it's your moment to support quality news coverage, incredible stories, and vibrant conversations like the ones you hear right here on Sundial. We provide you with access to vital information and inspiration every single day, but we can only do so with your support because it's strong member support that keeps all of South Florida connected. So do your part. Give now at WLRN.org or call 866-247-9576.
That's right. And you're not sure how much to give, we have a special offer here for either $15 a month or $20 a month on that sustainer plan. You could get your chance to see Tommy Emmanuel, and you'll have a choice between premiere tickets or premiere ticket with a meet and greet that's going to be happening at Parker Playhouse Monday, February 24th. It will be emceed by WLRN's own Michael Stock, a folk and acoustic music fame, the guru of folk and acoustic music. Now, Tommy Emmanuel has achieved enough musical milestones to satisfy several lifetimes, or at least they would if he was the kind of artist who was ever satisfied. At the age of 6, he was touring regionally in Australia with his family band. By 30, he was a rock and roll lead guitarist, burning up stadiums in Europe. At 44, he became one of the 5 people ever named in a certified guitar player by his idol music icon Chet Atkins. Today, he plays hundreds of sold-out shows every year, from Nashville to Sydney to London. All the while, Tommy has hungered for what's next. When you're widely acknowledged as the international master of the solo acoustic guitar, What's Next is an album of collaborations with some of the finest singer-songwriters and, yes, guitarists alive today. Get your chance to meet Tommy Emmanuel. You can do the meet and greet with 2 premium seats. That's for $20 a month on the Sustainer plan, or for $15 a month, you can have 2 premium seats. How do you do that? You give us a call, 866-247-9576, online at WLRN.org or on the app.
Again, that's 866-247-9576. You know what? Also think about this, too. We've got 4 drawings for the new iPhone, Apple iPhone 11 Pro. I know a couple people who've got this, and they don't stop bragging and make me feel bad about my iPhone 8. I thought I had a good one, but it's old. So you know what? Right now, pledge your support at 866-247-WLRN. You will be entered into our Apple a Day giveaway for an iPhone 11 Pro. That's 4 drawings this week. So the sooner you donate, the more chances you have to win one. Again, we're giving one away each day through Friday, so contribute now. You can also go online. If you're in front of your computer, go to WLRN.org. As you're checking your email, doing a little Facebook, go to our website, click donate. Takes 2 minutes. Pledge your support now for programs like this one and for all the programming that you love to listen to on WLRN. Again, 866-247-9576.
So have you dipped your toe into automatic bill paying for utilities or perhaps your phone, or for digital media subscriptions like Netflix or newspapers or magazines? Well, you're ready to become a WLRN monthly sustainer. Sustainers are people who dive deeper into their relationship with WLRN by giving on a monthly basis. Now, the amount is up to you. It's the automatic renewal that's the game changer for us. Click the button at WLRN.org or give us a call. Join us as a sustaining member at 866-247-9576. Another way to remember that, 866-247-WLRN.
And here's something special for you. For the $15 a month, you can get a New York Times digital subscription. Now, this is discounted. Normally, this is $20 a month. We are right now offering it for $15 a month on the Sustainer plan. You can get closer to your friends by giving them the New York Times. Now, from breaking news to a brand new recipe, there's never a dull moment, so you'll always have a moment to share. If you're just joining us, we have this very special offer. This online annual subscription to the New York Times. Enjoy unlimited, anytime, anywhere access to all New York Times content, including breaking news, reviews, opinion blogs, and videos. And your subscription can be accessed anywhere on any smartphone, tablet, web, or web browser. And that's just for a contribution of $15 a month to WLRN today. Later in the drive, this will go up to $20. So now's the best time to give. 866-247-9576 or online at WLRN.org. Consider it a holiday gift for somebody.
Again, that's 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN. Go online, WLRN.org. Pledge your support now for programs like this one, for Morning Edition, for All Things Considered, for Radiolab, for Freakonomics, any of the shows that you love to listen to, now is the time. Pledge your support to public radio. And again, if you're a sustaining member, maybe you give it as a gift, you know, so like the New York Times subscription. Do that.
Yep.
Maybe the Apple iPhone if you're really that nice. 866-247-9576.
So one of the best ways to keep yourself from falling for fake news is to embrace trusted sources of responsible journalism. It's kind of like a defensive driving. You have to be aware at all times and filter out distractions. You may consider WLRN one of your trusted sources of fact-based reporting. You're in good company. Others feel the same way. 866-247-9576, the number to call, or online at WLRN.org.
Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, let's get back to our conversation with Miami Herald columnist and author Carl Hiaasen. We spoke with him a few weeks ago while he was at the Miami Book Fair. Now, he's out with two books, Squirm, a children's novel, and Assume the Worst, the graduation speech you'll never hear. Carl explained his dual passions as a newspaper writer and as an author.
The column I still think is the most important thing I do out of some misguided sense of virtue or sense of that somebody's listening or paying attention. I do feel it in these times in particular. It's a privilege to have that platform to write for a newspaper, even as newspapers struggle. The fiction has been terrifically rewarding, especially the books for kids. I get the best mail. It gives you hope when you get, you know, you get very jaded in this business, but when you get so much mail from kids who love what you're, they dig the humor, they get what you're, where you're coming from, it says, wait a minute, maybe that generation can repair some of the damage my generation did to this planet. So that part has kept me going. But one or the other, I'll keep doing the column as long as, as long as they let me do it. I don't need to be doing it, but I do think it's important. And I'm lucky I have the second career, because if your goal is to become a newspaper reporter and get rich and retire early, you have been given some very bad advice, because it's a tough bit. Journalism is a tough business. You got to love it. Nobody gets into it. I want to get into it because I want to be written. Nobody says that. So I've been lucky that the books have done well, but I like doing both.
Talking about the kids' books, the latest one, Squirm. Tell me a little bit about Billy Dickens. This is a fascinating journey. He's out to find his father. He's out to look for his father. But
yeah.
Where did the idea come from? And I wanted to get a sense of, like, for you, considering the other stuff that you've written, you've had so much success writing for young readers.
Well, I just liked a character who, there's a lot of people out there come from, I don't want to say broken homes, but divided homes. Divorce is a big common thing. And this was a kid that his father had always been a sort of a mysterious figure. He'd sort of vanished from Florida and gone out to Montana. Nobody knew what had become of him. And he hadn't been able to visit him. And so I wanted him to sort of make this journey, hop a plane and go out there and try to find him in Montana, which is a huge state, and sort of follow up on rumors. What's he doing? And there was all the secret stuff. He might be working for the government. I just like the idea of the kid making the journey and then, in a sense, getting out into a real dangerous situation that his father happened to be in, and having them bond together again. In the end, coming back to Florida.
Going even back to Hoot, I mean, you tackle some very dark, very serious issues for young readers. How do you feel about writing some of that stuff for young readers? Are they sophisticated enough to handle this? But how do you approach that?
I do it very delicately because of the kids in my own family, and even Hoot. I mean, there are a lot of novels being written for young readers now that get into way heavier stuff than I write about. I mean, I don't know how I would tackle a novel about child abuse, for instance, or about human slavery. These things, they're very brave writers who do it, and the kids handle it just fine. The kids are, in many ways, more able and more open about coping with it than the grown-ups are. That's not the issue. The issue is, the trick is, you never write down to them. That's the mortal mistake you can make as a writer if you think you can write for kids. Well, I have to write down. They're sharp, they catch it right away, and you have no credibility. You have to write as if they were adults almost. And I don't mean obviously language or any kind of situations that are adult situations, but I'm saying you have to write for them as if they're just as smart and just as aware as you are, because they are. And I don't worry too much. I mean, if you looked at the bestseller list today on the Times for young adult fiction, there's some really heavy stuff, much, much trickier than I have ever tried or would feel equipped to try. So I don't have my own, I think, books are fairly tame in that regard, but they deal with personal things that happen in real life to kids and that kids carry with them, especially with regards to families that split up and friendships lost and kids that have to move around a lot, which is so difficult. You know, I mean, it's been the best career move I ever made, in a way, was just because it exposed me to this new audience that is very, they're demonstrative. They write you a lot of letters. They show up. They ask questions. They're merciless in their criticism sometimes. And it's one, but they're wonderfully frank, and that's been a great joy.
Considering everything you've worked on, all the stories you've covered in your career, and, you know, the different books you've written, is there any one story that's Florida-centric that you've wanted to write about or tackle that you haven't yet?
Well, it just happened. Dave Barry and I, we're doing the band. I've been called back for one more session with the band. So Dave and I did a song. It's about this woman that was arrested. She and a boyfriend or a husband were arrested, charged with smuggling turtles and reptiles. And among the things that they found, she had a live alligator in her yoga pants. And I think to me that was as Florida as it gets. There's at so many levels. It's just, we're going to hide the alligator. I've got an idea, and let's put it in my yoga pants. It's just a juxtaposition of so many wonderful elements there that, so I don't know how to put that in a novel. I mean, it may have to just live forever in the song that Dave and I wrote.
You know what, now I was thinking about this, is do you think you could have had the same career if you were writing in any other state?
No way. There's no way. I owe everything to the bizarreness of Florida.
That was Miami Herald columnist and author Carl Hyacin, and you can find more about his books Squirm and Assume the Worst, The Graduation Speech You'll Never Hear, at WLRN.org. Well, finally today, let's end with some music. The South Florida band Lemon City Trio plays funk music, but their version of it. It's usually a mix of jazz, soul, and from time to time, a little psychedelic rock. The band members are Brian Robertson, he is on organ, Nick Tanura on guitar, and Aaron Glukoff on drums. Now, the three of them met in Miami and began rehearsing at a warehouse located in the Lemon City. It's a neighborhood in Miami that dates back to the mid-19th century, and it overlaps now with Little Haiti. The band joined Sundial as part of our music series Live from the 305, and they perform Tuesday night at the Lagniappe House in Miami.
The sound that we have is kind of indicative of what's happening musically in the city of Miami right now. I mean, when we first did it, it was kind of like, yeah, that's what we'll have it as. But I kind of like now that it's sort of geographically attached to Miami and that we're sort of a band that's representative of the scene here.
You guys used the term funk. Is funk the most apt genre? I mean, let's get into defining styles here.
Well, I definitely think we started out more on the funk side of the tracks. Definitely, you know, we kind of came together with a shared love of the Meters and James Brown. 60s soul. And that kind of is how we were able to bond musically in the beginning. And then we kind of branched out. And now the new stuff is a little more on the space rock, for lack of a better term.
A little psychedelic sense to it. A
lot of delays, a lot of washed out textures.
Nick, how do you define funk?
Being funky. Is that, you know, and so in that, to me, it's like, you know, you could listen to all different kinds of music that are like that. Like the origins of that term, I heard this in a documentary, so I think it's right, is you know, like that term was first associated with like Horace Silver, who's like a jazz musician, and there's like hip hop music you could listen to that's funky, or like Led Zeppelin, whatever. So I guess when we started, it was more of a strict thing. Like, we were playing that specific kind of music, and then that's kind of in us. We love that. We've played it a lot. We still do it, you know, at gigs. We'll, you know, intersperse that between our original stuff. But the original stuff, you know, I guess it's not as strict of an interpretation of, like, what you'd hear from, like, 60s funk.
Aaron, I want to hear your thoughts.
Funk, the word, is, you know, it characterizes a certain kind of swagger, a certain kind of attitude and approach to playing. A little more technically, just, you know, as far as, you know, being a drummer and the way I think about it, it's a certain kind of swing, it's a certain kind of manipulation of the beat with the rhythms and the syncopation. Like Brian was saying, you know, the band in the beginning, you know, those covers we do were like central to creating this identity and around this music. So the term funk was, you know, the basis for how we got started creating the music. And, you know, the fact that now we've branched out into sort of bringing in rock and roll and psychedelic rock and space rock into it, I think we're still doing it funky.
That was Brian Robertson, Nick Tenura, and Aaron Glukoff. They are behind the band Lemon City Trio. They're going to be performing at the Lagniappe in Miami Tuesday, December 10th. You can read more about them and check out the rest of the Live from the 305 bands at WLRN.org. And that's our program for this Monday, December 9th. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can find us online at WLRN.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Now, just as a reminder, this is our winter drive, our end-of-year pledge drive, and so we need to take a moment here to, one, say thank you. Thank you for your support, but also, if you haven't made that call or gone online and pledged your support, please do so, because you are keeping public radio strong. Let's make this, you know, our best end-of-year pledge drive. Make it a great way to end 2019. I'm in studio right now with Mia Lorenzo and Suzanne Halterman. Let's tell them how we can do it.
Well, you can do it by giving us a call at 866-247-9576 or make that donation online at WLRN.org. You know, we've been reminding you that an apple a day keeps actual facts and truth on display right here at WLRN. And it could be displayed on your new iPhone 11 iPro. It's WLRN's Winter Member Drive, and we'd like to make our goal of $291,000 by Friday at 7 p.m. So won't you support fact-based and truthful reporting right now? If you do, when you do, you'll be automatically entered into all of our drawings for an iPhone 11 Pro. Now, we're giving one away every single day. So right now, if you give, you'll be entered into every one of those chances. Again, the number to call is 866-247-9576 or make that donation online at WLRN.org.
We've heard people say they give as monthly sustainers for a couple of reasons. One, it's very convenient. You set up once and your WLRN sustaining membership renews automatically each month. The other reason, they feel that being a reliable monthly supporter is good for the community at large. Sustainers love the fact they can have a positive effect on civil society with little to no effort. So become a sustainer. Help us sustain this relationship. Call us at 866-247-9576 or by going online to WLRN.org.
If you are doing your holiday shopping, you've thought about some gifts, I've got two good ones for you. How about this? The New York Times digital subscription right now at $15 a month. The New York Times digital subscription you could check out on your phone or on your tablet. Maybe for you. You can give yourself a gift or you give it to somebody else. How about at $15 a month? Again, your pledge of support to public radio. Better yet, how about an iPhone 11 Pro from Apple? We are going to have four drawings, one a day for the rest of this week. And so you know what? You could be part of that and keep it for yourself, because I know I would. Or, again, give it to somebody you love. 866-247-9576. That's 866-247-WLRN. Or you can pledge your support online. You may be on your computer right now. Go to WLRN.org. You'll see the donate button at the top. Click it. All just takes 2 minutes to do. Please pledge your support now.
Now, any donation is a great opportunity for us to continue doing what we do here. But if you can give $1,200, please think about joining WLRN as a Circle of Friends member. So you'll help fund unique radio that captures the spirit of our city, and you'll enjoy member benefits like a personalized tour of WLRN studios and the chance to meet our host. None other than Luis Hernandez is among those. But most of all, you'll take pride every time you turn on the radio. You'll know that your contribution worked behind the scenes to make great public radio in South Florida. It's tax deductible, of course. So find out more about our Circle of Friends membership and all of our thank you gifts and other levels right now, 866-247-9576 or online at WLRN.org.
Hi, it's Rachel Martin. NPR is available everywhere.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's one of our listeners named Nick. You might say he is listening all the time. Nick appreciates that public radio presents the facts. We do it thanks to listeners like you who donate. Here's how to make checking our facts and checking them twice possible.
And you can do that by calling 866-247-9576 while you're listening to this jazzy music or that wonderful music we were listening to earlier on Sundial, which sounds so cool, definitely. But we can't bring you stories like that without your support. Sundial is really brought to you by you. So call 866-247-9576. Keep that support going. Or online at WLRN.org. Think of the story you just heard and all of the memorable stories you've heard in the past year. Every story you experience here is worth your time and worthy of your support. And none of them would be on WLRN without the financial support of our listeners, and that's you. If you've not yet contributed, make this your day. The news is real, the stories are impactful, and they only exist because the people who appreciate them are willing to invest their dollars to help create even more. So become a part of the team that helps make great stories on WLRN. Make your year-end tax deduction gift at WLRN.org or 866-247-9576.
Again, go online, WLRN.org, or call 866-247-9576. Pledge your support now. Thank you so much for listening to Sundial. Thank you so much for supporting Sundial. If you haven't, do it now, 866-247-9576. We'll talk again soon.